Yeah, but Hashem, it's good to see everybody. Hashem, it's a tremendous, tremendous chus for me personally to begin a new zman of this chabur, which has been making a roshim in many places in the world. The roshim of recognizing that we need to talk. But we need to talk. For that alone, it's kedai. The feeling that we need to talk about things honestly and openly. And everywhere I go, there it's amazing to me how many people feel that connection to this chabura. I want to thank again Rabin Rachmani and the family. This whole chabura, Darchei Avinom, is a Zeichen Nishmas, his Heilige Father, Avinom and Chaim, Zechon Levracha. And the whole family should have simcha and nachas. Should be a schus for them and for the children, for everybody. Ad me'avesim shana. I also want to give you a big yashar koach to Menachem Levitz, who's been sponsoring this continuously. And the schus of the kedusha of his son Shimon, Yehuda, and Shmuel, they should all go in the right way and give nachas to the parents and to all of us. Thank you. One of the interesting things about this chabur is sometimes I feel like I play in a band. I get a lot of requests. I get requests. Like, you know, you always have these nudniks to go over to the band and say, you know, I really, really would love to have a negila. And then the band leader has to say, we'll try to get to it, you know, by Shavar Brachas. Try to get to it. So I have a lot of requests. You know, please, can we talk about this? Can we talk about that? And I'm a chabad them because they're important. And I want to get to each of them. and yet I have a mahalach that's slow, but there's a reason why I'm doing it that way. I'm not asking you to trust me because I'm not necessarily trustworthy. But I'm asking you to trust me that there's a reason why I'm going in this mahalach, because I want the yisod to be very, very, very deep and very rich and very real, so that by the time we get to certain very simple, or not simple, but practical things, the yisodis will be so strong that many of the kashas that we would have are not going to be kashas anymore. You know that when you say something in learning, one of the things that I was zeicher to hear Torah from one of the great, great goyim of the 20th century, Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik, zeicher tzadik levracha. I was zeicher to learn from him. And one of the things about receiving Torah from such a person is that you would walk into the shir with 10,000 kashas. And when you left the shir, you were wondering, why was I so stupid to think that's a kasha? Like, that's a kasha? You understand there's a certain kind of a shir, there's a certain kind of alumnus. The Briskas, of course, are famous for that. But amongst those illustrious Gainim, Rabbi Yoshe Ben's learning was such that we would sit there, and I was sitting there, and I was wondering, like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? A lot of the kashas that we have nowadays with our children, with ourselves, if we take time, we do things slowly and carefully, we come to a place of what was I thinking? What was I thinking? To try to bring a refuah and a yeshua to our minds and our hearts and our way of looking at our children is the tachlis of what I'm doing. The practical questions, of course, and then, you know, can we talk? Please, I need more help about how to talk to my kid, because my kid's getting on to things. I need to talk to them next week. Can you talk about it? I understand that, and I appreciate that, and I give certain recommendations of what you could look at and what to do when I get calls like that. But the mahalach has to be a mahalach that's pnimi and that's slow and careful, so that by many of the questions, when we get to them and they come up, then we'll shake our heads and we'll realize that they're not such big questions. The Baruch Hashem, the Baruch Shalom, planned everything out for us. Things are not out of control. People always telling me, it's out of control. I get so out of control when I hear that. It's Rebbe, it's my kid's out of control. My life is out of control. Nothing's chas v'shalom. nothing's out of control. Control. The Rabbi Shalom fears the veld, the same way he did when he told Avraham Avinu Lech Lecha. He fears the veld now also. And each one of us is part of our own individual Lech Lechas. And not to make ourselves crazy, and to be calm, and to be able to speak to our children and to ourselves in a way with Seichel and Yishev Adas and Menuchas HaNefesh. Not to be out of control, to get crazy, to get nervous. And this thing that we've got, what's been going on the last 2 weeks with kids trying to switch their kids from to different classes. This is the amount of time that's going on with this Indian. I said, what's wrong with your son's class? There's a certain kid in that class. I don't want my son to be in the same class as that. I says, what's the chilek if you take it? And then you put him to the other class, he's going to meet a kid that's bigger problems than this kid. No, the other class, I heard they're all very, very good kids. In the other class, I said. Anybody that's ever been in yeshiva administration or in that, or board, or you know, these things with classes and stuff in the schools, anybody that's ever been in that parasha knows that parents are frantic to try to prevent the kid from meeting the kid. That kid. Because there's the kid. Or the kids, that chevra. And you run. And it's like, the Baruch Shalom has such an inyan because the kid finds that kid, whether it's on the bus or it's in camp. Or it could be at some Shabbaton, whatever it is. The inyan is not whether the kid's going to find your kid and running away from the kid. The inyan is that our children should be people of substance. You understand what I'm saying? That our children should be people of substance. Even from the time that they're young, they should be young people filled with teichen. And they should be able to deal with the kid and not fall apart, and we shouldn't lose control. Because there are kids all over the place. I tell people all the time, what do you think? If you take your kid from the five towns and put him to Babov and to Bells, you think in that class in Babov, there's not a kid over there in Babov, just because he's got long pace. You don't think that over there, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I get calls all the time from Yerushalayim, from Chevra that we have in Eretz Yisrael, that they put the kids in the cheder, the frumis cheder. And it's the same in Yonim going on everywhere. Because there's a certain teva that a human being has. And unless we address the teva of a human being, if we're trying to all the time work with the symptoms and trying to stomp and kill them, all the different things, and to keep my kid away from that kid and to keep my kid away from this, and my kid's not going to ever, you know, I can't make, the kid should never see this, the phone, or should see this. So then you're always running. And the problem is that we're getting old and our kids are faster than us. That's the problem. They just run faster than us. They're always ahead of us. So we have to try to help them become people who are introspective, who think. Because otherwise they're just going to end up doing the same thing with your grandchildren. Just trying to figure out how to move them around to different classrooms. And when there aren't enough classrooms in that school, they'll move into a different school. And so many times people are running from the school where their whole hatzlacha was in the first school. The whole hatzlacha, I see this all the time, the whole hatzlacha is with that Rebbe. And they're just taking it, pushing and pulling and pulling, and the kid's just happy and doing okay, but the parents are so nervous. You can't blame them, it's a scary time. So let's talk about where we left off before the summer a little bit. And we're going to keep on for the next few weeks until after Yom Tov, digging in deep into the sugya of who our generation is, and then we'll be able to go into the Midah of Yesod and to speak about more of the halachis and some of the pratim over the course of the year. Where we left off before the summer was we were learning a maimer. Most of you were here then. We learned a maimer from Ramatel Zilberzal Gazon Zayin. We learned that maimer, and at the end, there was a Torah that we learned together that you have in your files. We learned the Torah together from a piece from one of the Torahs from the Mamorim of Ateris from the Rebbe Rashab Shlusky from Lubavitch. And I'm just going to remind you what that Torah was, because we're picking up over there. So let's just review for a second, Baal Peh, outside, to view what the Rebbe Rashab was saying. on the Pasuk Vahish Maisha Anav Ma'od Mikola Adam Ashal Pnei Ha'adam. And I know that most of you remember what that was about. The Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble. Vahish Maisha Anav Ma'od Mikol Ha'adam Ashal Pnei Ha'adam. The Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person from all people upon the face of the earth. And the Rebbe Ashab revealed something astonishing. And we'll understand it much, much better in the context of what we're going to be learning now over the next few weeks. That Moshe Rabbeinu, as Chazal tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu had access to the Sefer of Adam HaRishon. So Adam HaRishon has had a Sefer, whether it was in writing or whatever it was, but he had a Sefer. And the Sefer of Adam HaRishon contained within it all future generations, the leaders of the future generations, the Ofi, the Teva, the nature, the Inyanim. Each generation is a different world. And Adam HaRishon was shown, he had a Sefer that contained within it all of the future Dairus. And the Rebbe Ashab writes that when Adam HaRishon went to the end of the Sefer, as I said back then, that, you know, it's always tempting to look at the end of to see the ending. So I don't know if Adam HaRishon went through the whole thing in Keseder, if he jumped to look at the end. So when Adam HaRishon looked at our generation, at the Ikvis of the Mashiach, when he opened up the Sefer of Adam HaRishon, and he looked to Ikvis of the Mashiach, the Rebbe Ashab writes, he saw Shelo Yelonu Shum Hasoga Belokus. He saw a generation that would have no Hasoga of God, of Elokus. No real understanding of Elokus, of godliness. Getlichkeit. No real understanding of godliness. Shum avoida amitis b'moich v'leiv. Without any true avoida b'moich v'leiv, with the mind and the heart. He saw all of that. And he saw that all that would remain at the end of time would be kiyum ha-mitzvahs b'poil. That there would be a remnant of the Jewish people, that's us, and some small pockets of Chevra in a couple of locations, that there would be a remnant of Sheiris Yisrael that would be Mekayim the Mitzvahs B'Poel. That would continue trudging on, just trying to keep the Mitzvahs. Just trying to get up and daven and do the right things. And he saw that. And he saw that the last generation would be a generation of Nisyanis, the type of which, of tests, of challenges, that there never ever were such challenges in all of history. And despite all of that, they would continue, like you and like me, to try to be Shomer Mitzvahs and to raise children with Mesiras Nefesh, that they should be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And the Rebbe Ashab writes, I'm just reminding you of the words so we can begin in the right way. Shebezet davka mebchina pnimis va'atzmus ein seif. He says, these ignorant, unknowing Jews at the end of time in their effort to hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite their ignorance, they persevere in being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. The Rebbe Ashab says that in doing so, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the last generation is holding on to Atzmus Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the very essence of the Creator Himself. That's who we're holding on to. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to. Some of you were here when I spoke yesterday morning, Shabbos morning, I spoke. I didn't have time to really finish things the way that I wanted to, because it really was a shiur, not a drasha. That we were learning a piece from Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg. And the emes is what's necessary to add to that whole conversation. Shaul HaMelech, who was perfect, and his malchus didn't last. David HaMelech, who had very, very serious, on his level, serious imperfections. The Chazal tells that David HaMelech walked around with a kupa shel shratza, like a can of worms, and that he was involved in problems of Gilei Rais on his level. I'm not Gilei Rais with Bathsheba, Shvichas Domim with Uriah, he sent out to be killed, and even within Yonam Rav Avodah Zarah, which Chazal tells us that he had a a half a minute to leave out his cell and to become an Oved Avodah Zarah, he couldn't take things anymore. The David HaMelech had such challenges in his life. So we were talking yesterday about how Hashem, the same way that Hashem, when he created the world, his thought, his havamina was to create a world that would be perfect, with Midas Adin, to create a world with the name Elohim, which is Midas Adin, which is perfection. But the world couldn't survive such a thing. The world that he created could not manage to live up to that standard of perfection. So then he brought in the Midas Rachamim, which is the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that means that there's a world of tshuva, and so on. The same way we learned yesterday, the same way that first Hashem created the Malchus of Shaul HaMelech, regarding whom Chazal says, ain't by Daifi, he was as close to perfection as a human being could ever come. Chazal say that he was so innocent, like a child of 1 year. So innocent, pure. So Hashem conceived of creating a Malchus of Shaul HaMelech of perfection. But then Hashem saw that the Malchus of Shaul could not be sustained, and he brought in the Malchus of David HaMelech. Right? That's what we were talking about yesterday. Some of you were there yesterday with Chazar. So then the way of creation is the same way of Hashem's Malchus in this world. But then at the end, what Rav Ginsburg explained was that, of course, the Malchus of Mashiach Zakenu, Mashiach ben Yosef is the name of Shaul HaMelech, comes from Malchus Beis Yosef. And Mashiach ben David is a shiluv of those two Mahalchim, of the Tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva. Shaul is the Tzaddik, and David HaMelech is the Baal Tshuva. And the shiluv of those two worlds, of Mashiach ben Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, and David Malka Mashiach, Bali Tshuva. And what we learned yesterday from Rav Ginsburg is that originally what a Bali Tshuva meant in the time of Chazal was somebody who was raised in a religious family, and he had problems, and he did aveiros, and then he did Tshuva. That's a Bali Tshuva. But in our times, over the past few decades, a Baal Tshuva has come to mean something else. Not that that isn't still true, but a Baal Tshuva means something else. A Baal Tshuva now means a person who didn't know really about Yiddishkeit. He didn't know. So therefore, he's a Tinok Shenishba, like a baby, like a little one-year-old baby, totally innocent. It's not his fault that he was doing aveiros. He didn't learn Torah. He didn't know. His parents didn't teach him. He didn't know. So if Ginsburg says this unbelievable Chiddush, the Mashiach is going to be a combination of a tzaddik and a Baal Tshuva. A tzaddik and a Baal Tshuva, because in reality, what Mashiach is going to bring out in us, in our generation, is that even though we went to yeshiva, I'm saying the ones that did, and we learned Torah, and we were raised with mitzvahs, the ones who were, we moms don't know anything. We have no hasaga of Elokus. Not only do we have no hasaga of God, but the hest upon him from the time of the Holocaust and even before is so deep, the concealment of God is so deep, that even the frumest Jew now who is raised by the frumest parents with all of the mitzvahs is like mamish a tzaddik, a tinek shenishba, is like a tzaddik that never sinned. That's what we're talking about from a muddle at the end. I'm just explaining a little bit more now. Hashem's going to show that to us. Like a tzaddik that never sinned, and we're all going to be Bali Tshuva. We're all going to be like the Bali Tshuva that like nowadays, like when you meet the Bali Tshuva that, you know, grew up on a surfboard someplace and he didn't know anything about Yiddishkeit, and you're like the frum guy, and you say, you know, welcome to our world. So Mashiach is going to say to each all of us frum people, welcome to our world. Welcome to the world of Elokus, of godliness. Welcome to the world of Elokus. So you say, well, I'm FFB. I'm from birth, and like you can just see Mashiach like giving like a wink, you know. Okay, Mr. FFB. Now I'm going to introduce you to the Bari Olam. That's insulting. You're introducing me to God. My whole life I'm putting on film. I said, I'm going to introduce you to the Baruch Shalom. I'm going to now introduce you to Yiddishkeit to show you what is a Jew. He said, I'm not a Baal Tshuva. I'm from. Stop saying that, because if you keep on saying it, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. Just say you don't know anything. Because then we're going to start you off reset. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be like Shaul HaMelech, like a one-year-old baby, innocent. How could I be innocent? I learned in yeshiva. I'm not a Tiddush Nishba. I'm not a Baal Tshuva. You are. All of us are going to be Tinoikish Shanishma. All the things that we did that were unbecoming for people who learned in yeshivas, for people who understood, who were taught that this is an aveir, all of that stuff is going to be gone, finished, deleted. Out, finished. And everything's going to start again. And the Baruch Shalom is going to say, Ani Hashem. What you thought you knew, you didn't know. Your mamish atinak shanish, but your mamish didn't know anything. That's the inyan of Mashiach, kind of to be Megale in Am Yisrael. That each and every one of us is as pure as a tzaddik that just came to the world, like the 40-year-old Baal Tshuva that never heard about Yiddishkeit. But at the same time, a Baal Tshuva. A tzaddik and a Baal Tshuva. Because that's what you have with these new Baal Tshuva. The tzaddikim and the Baal Tshuva. He said tzaddik because he never did any averus. How could he never did any averus? He's doing a lot more averus than me. Yeah, he didn't know anything. So he's doing a lot of averus. So how could he be a tzaddik and a Baal Tshuva? The Torah says that he was a teacher, but he's doing averus. He didn't know anything. He was doing all those averus. So he's a tzaddik. But he's a tzaddik. How could he be a Baal Tshuva? He's not kash. He's a Baal Tshuva because he wasn't from, and now he's from. It's confusing, no? A tzaddik and a Baal Tshuva. Mashiach is going to be Megala in each and every one of us. This inyan of tzaddik and Baal Tshuva. Shaul and David. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. The tzaddik and Baal Tshuva. It's the inyan of what Mashiach is going to be Megala. Because what the Rebbe of Shabbat is saying is that when Adam Rishon looked at that sefer, and he saw the end, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was able to look at that sefer of Adam Rishon, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw our generation, and he saw this, he saw that we have no Hasaga V'Elokus. He saw that we don't know anything. And we have no real deep connection to Hashem in our conscious lives. We have no such connection. And the Rebbe Shab says, Shabazet Davke, Mebchina Pnimis V'Atzmus Ein Seif. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the only way that you and I are still holding on to mitzvahs is because we have some mysterious connection that's deeper than any of the earlier generations. To Atzmus Ein Seif Baruch Hu Mamash, to the Infinite One Himself. And he says that Moshe was betachlis hashiflis. Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by us. This is what we're learning before the sun. Moshe was betachlis hashiflis. Ba'atzmai. Mibnei ha'yisvan hazeh shehem gedoilim harbi mimenu. That when Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the generation of the end of time, us, Beifus of Mashiach, he saw that we were much greater than him. Obviously not in how we live in our consciousness. But he saw that there's something that Hashem has with our generation, that there's a connection that's deeper, much deeper than his. And that's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was onav ma'od. The Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble. From where did he take his humility? Because he saw the sefer of Adam Rishon, and he saw what our generation, he saw in the future the Dor HaVikus of the Mashiach, and he saw a generation that was going to be Al Pnei HaAdam. That's what we call Mamish Al Pnei HaAdam. In the lowest place. Al Pnei HaAdam. And even though we're Al Pnei HaAdam, and it's the craziest Nisyanis, and it's the biggest test upon him that there ever was as in our generation, as such a concealment of Elokus, of Hashem. And despite that, there are Jews that continue putting on tefillin and davening and keeping mitzvahs. So Moshe Rabbeinu was on of Ma'od. He took his anivas, he was humbled by the generation at the end of time that's Al Pnei HaAdam. That even though we're Al Pnei HaAdam, we continue, Asher Al Pnei HaAdam, we continue keeping mitzvahs. That was the Torah that we learned from the Rebbe Rashab before the sun. So what the Rebbe Rashab is telling us is that if we want to succeed with ourselves and our children, we need to understand the generation. Now some of you were here when a few years ago, we learned in the Erev Shabbos Rav Kook Chabur, we were learning the Maimer Hador, the generation. And I'll read to you a sentence or two from the Maimer Hador. I think it might be in English now. I found out Erev Shabbos that the Aris HaKadosh is translated to English. I don't know if the whole thing is on that Sefaria, but certainly parts of it are translated into English. So probably the Maimer Hador is also, I don't know if it's in that site, that website, but in the Maimer Hador, Rav Kook writes the following. Doreinu hu dor nifla. Doreinu hu dor nifla. Our generation, when he was speaking, it includes our generation. This is Tkufa. Doreinu hu dor nifla. He says, our generation is a wondrous generation. Dor shekuloi timohon. It's a generation that's kuloi timohon. It's entirely a wonder. Timohon. It's entirely a wonder. Koshemoid limsalay dugma b'chaldivre yameinu. It's hard and impossible to find anything to compare our generation to from all of Jewish history, from all of our history. Humurkav mehafachim shainim. That our generation is composed of opposites, different things that opposed one to the other. Choshech v'or misham shumboi b'erbuvia. Darkness and light, like at the time before Vayhi Or, the time of creation, darkness and light are mixed. There's an erbuvia of darkness and light. Hushofel v'yorud, our generation is very, very al pnei ha'adomidik. Shofel v'yorud, very, very lowly, very low, our generation. Gamrom v'nisa, but in so many ways, it's also the most exalted of all generations. Hu kulo chayav, gam kulo zakai. Now you know what he's referring to. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Mashiach will come either in a generation that's kulo zakai, entirely innocent and pure, or kulo chayav, entirely guilty. And all the Mefarshim are scrambling to figure that out. What does that mean? Mashiach's going to come in a generation that's kulo chayav. How could that be? Kulo zakai. Entirely worthy, we understand that Mashiach should come to a generation that's entirely worthy. But that he should come to a generation that's entirely guilty? Kula chayv? Like, whatever happened to the middle class? Like, we feel like we're somewhere in between. So Rav Kook is defining our generation. He says, you don't understand the generation. The generation of Ikfas of the Mashiach is Kulay Zakai and Kula chayv simultaneously. In other words, you can find the same guy on a Sunday morning, learning Rav Kook, and talking about, we're going to learn soon, the Shai Gilgulim, and Motzei Shabbos could be that he was hanging out with his girlfriend doing Ve'eveisvas. I'm not saying anybody here was doing that, but there could be such a Chetimsa. And even if you weren't, you might wish you would be doing that. You didn't have that in the old days. In the old days, you had Yidden that they were connected to learning and tzaddikim and so on. And then the rest of the chevra, they moved away. There was a kula zakeh chevra, there was a kula chayev chevra. But Rav Kook is saying that in the generation of Ikfas of the Mashiach, the same person is a kula zakeh and kula chayev. How could that be mathematically? How does that work out? It's a mystery. We're going to talk about it. Kula zakeh, the guy's a tzaddik and a bal tshuva. He's a tzaddik that never did anything wrong. And he's a bal tshuva that spent his whole life doing wrong things. Until he found out the secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kuloi zakai v'kuloi chayv. The same person can be kuloi zakai v'kuloi chayv. This is a conversation I have all the time with guys or girls that are going like running off the derech. You know, they're in nefila, off the derech. Because you know they're very holy people and they can't bear living in that contradiction. They can't stand living in that, like I was talking about before Mincha yesterday, they were pulled into, they can't stand because they feel like they're hypocrites. And every conversation I have with those over the years is, you could be Kula Zakeh and Kula Chayv. You could be the biggest tzaddik and you could be the biggest rosh. It's not a contradiction, it's not. Nope. Because you are living in the ikvus of the Mashiach. It would have been a contradiction, like if I had met you in like 1912, you know, in Sosnitsa or someplace or wherever in Lublin, you would have been a wonderful person. I would have said, "Life, like, once you get out of here, you're crazy." But for now, you could be the biggest balaveiras, and you wear a baseball hat that says Hashem loves you. And it's true. I'm not making fun. It's 100% true. But these chevra are so sincere that they can't believe that that's true. Like, they can't be that Hashem loves me. I'm a balaveiras. In other words, they still have this mahalach of it's either a rasha or a tzaddik. Why can't you be a tzaddik? Why can't you be a rasha that's a tzaddik? What do you mean? There's no such thing. That can't be. I learned that there are different books, you know. It can't be. It's not either a rasha or a tzaddik. I'm talking about Bainon or something, but either a rasha or a tzaddik. No, you're a rasha that's a tzaddik. What's that? That's you. You are a rasha that's a tzaddik. Ibn Achim said that that's how you have to speak to the Indian of Dori Mala and Dori Mata, Torah Vav, which is the Torah of Elul, Lukutei Lachas, Hilchas Nadarim, Ibn Osman, Ibn Achim. He said that tzaddik has to be able to tell the lowest person, you should know your mamash a tzaddik. And to tell the highest person, you know your mamash a rasha. That's the secret of the true tzaddik. That's the secret of Rabbi Nach. How to speak to a person. And it's true. He holds himself to be the biggest rasha, and the Baruch Shem says, that's tzaddik. But how could it be? I'm such a Baal Aveiros. You're like Shalom Aleich, like one day old. You have no idea what you're saying because you don't know what I've been doing my whole life. I'm not impressed. It's tzaddik. And then you go to the person who holds himself to be a big Rosh Hashiva. And that's why a lot of them don't like me. And you hold yourself to be a big Rosh Hashiva and you say, nah. You're very smart. You know how to learn. You know, big tzaddik. Well, you're smarter than the rest of the guys in the yeshiva and you became a big lambda or something. Okay, you're very smart. I give you credit for that. You know how to learn. But I don't see that you're a bigger Ovid Hashem than the kid that's off the derech necessarily. Lav davka. Maybe if you had your position, you'd also be wearing a long coat and giving a knowing look to everybody. Maybe. I'm not speaking chalila about, I'm talking about yechidim. I'm not talking, God forbid, 99.9% that tzaddikim, kedoshim, or the Rosh Hashivas and the leaders of the Jewish people, the heiliger people. But I'm saying there is such an inyan that the one who is a Rosh is not a Rosh, no, it's a tzaddik, it's a tzaddik. But the truth is, he's also a tzaddik. The Rosh Hashivas also, he's also a tzaddik. But the tzaddik tells the tzaddik, you're a Rosh. It's the inyan of El. Of Dori Mala and Dori Mata, Rabbi Nachman's Torah and Vav, which is the site of Elul, the Aleph, the higher Yud and the lower Yud, and the Luchas, the Vav in between, Rabbi Nachman talks about over there. It's the whole idea of what a Neder is and a Shur, which Rabbi Nosson speaks about, and why we say Kol Nidre before Yom Kippur, at the beginning of Yom Kippur. So Rav Kook is saying that the generation is Kuloi Zakai v'Kuloi Chayv. Anachnu chayovim lamed al oifyov. So Rav Kook, this was his whole life. Rav Kook writes, Anachnu chayovim lamed al oifyov. What does that mean? We must understand the nature of the generation. We must try to figure it out. We have to try to figure it out. Now, this is a very crucial time. This time of the year, school just started, right? So how many of you, how many of you, your kids just went back to school? How many of you? Oh, Hashem. See, you have to daven, be'emes, that the teachers that they have will understand who they are. That's a big thing to daven for. Forget about switching classes and having the principal tarred and feathered or something. Forget about all that stuff. At the end of the day, that's not going to make such a big difference. You have to daven that the teacher who has your kid will appreciate and understand the teva of your kid, of who your kid is, which is hard. It's very hard. And you can't blame them because they were trying. It's very hard. I mean, you can blame the ones that don't try. But most of them are trying. But you have 25, 30 kids in the class. One of my grandsons, he's got 37 kids in the class. It's a very big oil to try to understand each kid. What's the oifi of that child? What's the teva? Rav Kook says, Anachnu chayovim lamad al oifi why? In the last words of the sentence, Laman nuchal lotzeis le'ezroso. In order that we can go out and help. So that we should be able to help our generation. Meaning we, the leaders. Nuchal lotzeis le'ezroso. A couple of sentences before he said, Hishpilu esrucheno kolkach. That our spirits have become so lowered because of the outside world and the things that we've gotten involved in and how the nations of the world look at us and so on, how we look at ourselves. To the point that when we look at ourselves, we see ourselves only with an eye of anger, of suspicion, of hashpola, of lowness and ugliness. Kilo anachnu v'rak anachnu hinenu haroyim b'chatoim. Kilo anachnu v'rak anachnu, kilo we, only and only us, are what? Haroyim b'chatoim, the worst and the biggest sinners in the world. That's how many of the kids look at themselves. Kilo anachnu haroyim b'chatoim, that I'm the worst and biggest sinner in the world. And in those conversations that I have with these kind of chevra, they started saying to me, I'm this, I'm bad. And I'm saying, tell me the worst ever you ever did. What's the worst ever? And the nature of most of these chevra is they're very straight, they're very honest. That's what gets them into trouble. If they would just make believe, then they would go along with everybody and they'd be okay. But they don't like to make believe. So I said, what's the worst? Tell me the worst ever. You really want to? So yeah. So he says, the worst ever. I'm sitting there and I... That's the worst of it. I thought you were going to tell me something really exciting. That's the worst of it. He says, what do you mean? It's not disgusting. It's not horrible. I said, nah, it's not so good. Not so good. Now, the truth is, it was pretty bad. But this kid sees himself as being Ein Ra, Ein Rosha Kamayu in the world. Ein Chet. There's no Chet like he didn't. In the whole world, nobody ever did such a disgusting thing. And that's how he comes to see himself. But mainly he comes to see himself. I'm the worst person. And he can't stand to be in that make-believe thing. So this Rasha, this Paisheya, this Chayte, I'm gonna go and daven Betzibur, I'm gonna go sit and learn a Blat Gemara, a guy like me. So in order, like I was talking about before Mincha, from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, from Rav Kook's Talmud, so in order to run away from that feeling of being a hypocrite and that anxiety and that anxiousness and the stress of being pulled in two directions. So many of the chevra, they just do whatever they can to throw away Yiddishkeit. I just don't want to be in that inyan. Like to have that headache of saying, you know, of saying over the Mishnah after I did that thing last night. I don't want to have that. That hurts too much. That the anxiety of that tug of war is too much for me. So what many of the chevra do is they just throw in the towel. They say, forget it. I'm kulei ra. I'm not from anymore. I'm completely not religious. I'm completely not from. It's like you have all these Hasidic chevra that they left Yiddishkeit, but when they leave like crazy, you know, because to the extent that they were raised in such a strong way, they leave in such a strong way. And then when they sit together, the guys and the girls with the nose rings, the earrings, and the tattoos on their pipik and the ear and there, they sit and they sing Zmiris on Shabbos afternoon. I'm not sure. They're sitting singing Zmiris. With their eyes closed, crying. No, that's how a chassid runs away from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's not nice. They can't get away from it. And it's making them crazy. But the need to get away is because I feel like I can't live in this thing. I'm either kula zakai, kula harai. I have to either be entirely zakai, entirely pure, entirely righteous, or if I'm not going to be that, entirely evil. So Rav Kook says we've come to see ourselves in such a way. Kilo anachnu v'rak anachnu hinu haroyim b'chatoim. In addition to the fact, it's compounded by the fact that the whole world hates us and looks at us in such a way. Not the whole world, but most of it. looks at us as being the lowest and the worst and this and that. Hascholim v'chashuchim, that were the dumbest and the foolish, and we are the most chashuchim. We live in the darkest way. Mikol ha'am asher al pnei ha'adama. And so he ends the sentence. Mikol ha'am asher al pnei ha'adama. He uses the word, the same words, asher al pnei ha'adama. Because we see ourselves, our generation sees itself in such a way, and the kids see themselves in such a way, and because of the innate yashvus that we were talking about from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe yesterday afternoon, helakim osu sodom yashvus, because a Jew by nature is such a yashvus, he can't bear being torn in two directions, being pulled in two directions. Zeh Moshe chasolakan, zeh Moshe chasolakan. So at some point the kid feels, look, I'm not a tzaddik, so I'm just, I'd rather just be a Rosh, and I have to think about how I'm not a tzaddik anymore, because I can't take that. I can't take not being a tzaddik anymore. So I'm just going to be a Rosh. I just joined a different group. I joined the Rishon. Because I was trying to be a tzaddik, but I kept on failing. So since I can't bear living in that place that's called Inui Hadin, that we were talking about yesterday afternoon, of not quite being alive or dead, not quite being a tzaddik or a Rosh, not, I don't know who I am. So what happens to many of these kids is that the ones in particular are very, very sincere. Many of them just say, I can't be this hypocrite that's Lashem and Labal. I can't have dual citizenship. I can't belong to Hashem and to Baal. I can't belong to the world of the Tzaddikim, to the world of the Rishayim. I can't do what I do on a Saturday night and go back to Yeshiva Sunday morning. So the terrace is, I'm a Rasha. I'm a Rosh. That's the conclusion. I'm a Rosh. I'm not good. I'm not good. So Rav Kook says that we have to understand this mentality. We have to understand this mentality of the generation of Ikkar Mashiach. There never was a generation that had this kind of mentality. Our generation is filled with this way of thinking. Kula Zaka Kula Chayv. Tzadik Rosh. And we have to understand the nature and the mentality, the personality of our generation, of our children, of our grandchildren. Why? Kadesh Yuchalov Lezrasa. In order we should be able to do something, Ashanuchalot says Lezrasa, that we should be able to go out and to help. To go out and to help. That's the tachas of this chabur. To be able to understand the nature of the generation and to go out and help. The inyan of Pagam Habris is that part of life where that challenge, that struggle becomes most profound and is most obvious. Because years ago, a person would get married, a guy would get married when he was 16 or 17. And since he wasn't exposed to so much stuff by the time he was 16 and 17, he was still very innocent when he was 16, 17, for the most part. So then he'd get married when he was 16 or 17. But now the boys are 20, 21, 22, 23, and they're being exposed to crazy stuff, mamish. And it's very hard for a good bacher nowadays, by the time that he's 18, 19 years old, not to look at himself as being a Rasha. It's very hard. Not to see himself as being a Rosh, even though he's so good. But not to see himself as being a Rosh. He would have been already married with kids years ago. And now he's 20, 21, 22. His friends are getting married. He goes to chasnas. He sees these girls walking in on, heels a foot high with a tight dress. And you're telling him, you have to be careful. Mayaseh ben v'leachta. What from the guy? And besides what his phone's got on it and what everything else where he goes. And he can be in his own house. His sister brings home his friends for Shabbos. You know how many times I've had guys tell me? My sister's friends? He's going to sugar with his sister's friends. What's crazy, the sister has friends. The sister is 16, 17. The boy is 12, 13. She brings home the chevra. And this guy's going out of his kalim. It's a different generation. So of course you have to understand what we're working with. It's different. And so if we understand what's different, then we can help. And if we're going to make believe it's still 1940, 1930, 1920, we can't help them. We're just going to still play that game. We're just not going to be able to help them. We have to help. And in helping them, Bez Hashem will be zeichet to help ourselves as well. So we'll continue, Mr. Hashem, next day. Can you hold on to that page? Or if not, look on your thing, and Moshe Dov is going to... So you have to get everybody your thing. The WhatsApp, you forget, anytime you have a page, I should know.